This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I'm on a third, is fair! Fair ball! Up the left field line, here's Cologne! And the Royals win it!
Celebrate with us on Monday, September 30th, as we replay the game and relive the best moments from the Royals' wild card victory over the A's 10 years later. Your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5, The Fan. The Fan. Chiefs, Chargers, Sunday at 3:25, right here on 96.5 The Fan, KFNC FM and AM, HD1 and HD2, Kansas City, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Here's the pitch. Trickled back to the mound. Urshag fields first base side. Runs to first. Underhand toss. Gurriel's there in time, and the ball game's over. The Royals shut out the Nationals for the second straight night and win a second straight game. Royals 3, Nationals nothing. And the Royals are that much closer to securing a postseason berth for the first time since 2015. Now 84-74, and a much needed win down the stretch. Only four games to go, and the Royals can just about taste it.
Can you taste it?
What does it taste like?
Victory.
What success. Does victory taste like? Is it a steak at Hy-Vee today for $10, or is it
is it a
lobster tail? Is it like what does it taste like to you this morning, man? Like, what's that taste of victory?
Tastes like that Friday after work cold beer on the patio.
There you go. That's a good taste. I like that taste of victory.
Nice little stick next to your glass. Hell, it tastes like a glass of Blanton's.
There you go.
On the rocks.
That's what the clincher will taste like.
Yeah.
That's what the clincher will taste
like. Magic number is 3.
Twins came back and won last night.
Damn them.
I texted you they should fire their manager, and they scored 8 straight runs.
See how that works? You text in pure panic, and it's reverse psychology. So what you should have said is the Royals should hire this manager.
Yeah.
Because that way they should extend him so the Royals can do this every year.
That's exactly right. Like, they've lost like 28-34 or something like that, and they were down 3-0 and then exploded for 8 unanswered, and I'm like,
Another shutout for the Royals, back-to-back shutouts. You think your offense is bad?
Yeah, good Lord. The Washington Nationals are not a very good baseball team, are they?
Yeah, you know, you hear the promo all the time. That's a game that after that victory, you could feel it in your plums.
Right.
And, you know, we've tried to tell you that, you know, it wasn't pretty. They just got done with their second 7-game losing streak.
Yep.
But then I reminded you, and I told Bob, and I told Mac that the last time they lost 7 in a row, they turned right around and won 5 of 6.
That's right.
After losing 7 in a row, they've now won 2 in a row. And the magic number is 3. Minnesota continues to try to hand you the division. You're tied with Detroit. Again, that's fine. You know, you're winning, they're winning. Nothing you can do about that except just keep winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried to tell you. By the way, you're listening to Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. James is with us today, not Mac. He is off to see his first love of his life, which is not his fiance / wife, but Blink-182, The Killers, and others. But we try to tell you, like, you got to just go game by game.
Right.
And yeah, there was panic. And yeah, I felt like I was wrong. And yeah, the sky was turning gray. And everybody was kind of nervous because you were running out of time. And the project was about to be due. Two massive wins in the final six games. Now only four. But a game today at 12:10. And Vern's pregame show will start at 11. And the thing about this is that when their backs are against the wall and the city is losing hope, here comes two big wins in a row, two shutouts in a row. You lose your starter. You're like, oh crap, God, here we go.
Yeah.
Lorenzen comes back. Those beautiful biceps are ready to throw some heat. Gets two people out. Here comes Daniel Lynch.
Right.
How about Daniel Lynch?
Give Daniel Lynch a round of applause. Lynch, he's pitching well lately, right? Yeah, he's doing a nice job.
How about Jim Halpert from The Office? Okay.
A little bit. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
A lot of bit.
Yeah, no, I get you a little bit there.
Doppelganger.
Yeah, I get you a little bit there.
Tyler Glass now is Cillian Murphy. Daniel Lynch is Jim Halpert.
Okay.
And he has been fantastic.
He's been great the last, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 innings or whatever it's
almost
been, man.
Gives you that Hochaver vibe.
A little bit.
Right? Yeah. Moved to the bullpen, overall first round pick. Number one overall pick, I believe. Maybe not number one overall, but I know it was a high pick in the first round.
He was up there with, I think Singer was the first pick of that draft. Actually, I may actually have it written down. Yeah, it was Lynch, Singer, Bubich, Coar, all those guys in that draft.
Yeah, it was
Singer, Coar, Lynch, and Bubich were all picked in that, like, that 2018 or whatever it was draft. And some guys come to the major leagues and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, they're a number one overall pick. They've got to be a starter and they've got to get the job done from the starting rotation standpoint. It just doesn't work that way. You draft 10 guys, you hope three of them, and that's the percentage, really, three of them do anything at the big league level. So you're talking about 30% of the guys. Mm-hmm. And so in that draft, you've seen Singer, you've seen Lynch, and you've seen Bubich all contribute to this team right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like Dayton Moore, I guess you could say, hit on all those guys because they're all big time contributors right now. I think Brady Singer probably is the one we have the most question marks about right now at this point in time. But, you know, he's a starter in your rotation. Lynch has become a very valuable bullpen piece, and Chris Bubich has become a very valuable bullpen piece. All of a sudden, those pitchers that they drafted looked bad a year ago, don't look bad right now. And if they're contributing and you're winning games and you're getting into the postseason, those are good draft picks. And that's just the way it works in Major League Baseball. Not everybody's going to be Chris Sale, right? Not everybody's going to be an ace for your staff that you draft. You just want to get contributions. And Singer, Lynch, and Bubich right now are contributing in a big way for this ball club. And I think without Lynch in the bullpen and without Bubich in the bullpen right now, who the hell knows, you know, where this team is right now. But you got the win. You took care of a losing team again yesterday. And that's all you got to do at this point in time. If you were losing these games to the Washington Nationals, I think there would be a lot of concern setting in. They're not a very good team. Obviously, they're on the outside looking into the postseason. But you took care of business. You got the wins, and you move forward, and you continue to get closer and closer to wrapping this thing up. And that's the beauty of baseball. I mean, we talked about it in August. We said this was going to be a playoff team. It's the ebbs and flows of the season. You don't want to have too long of a losing streak, and you want to maximize your winning streaks. And I think the Royals have really done a good job with that. You mentioned the 2 7-game losing streaks to come, and yes, obviously, some panic set in, but the Minnesota Twins gave you every opportunity in the last month of this season to run away with a playoff berth because they clearly have no interest in playing in October with the way that they're going right now. So you have an opportunity to grab a postseason berth as early as Friday, wrap this thing up, and get ready for the postseason. I do hate that Baltimore's playing good right now. They're mm-hmm. beating up on the Yankees. I hate that right now. I hate the fact that the Tigers keep winning because, you know, you got to kind of keep pace with them and they've got to kind of keep pace with you. I'd like to see them slip back, you know, a little bit so you can make sure that you get that spot locked up so you do play Baltimore and you don't have to go to Houston.
Right.
But, you know, these next couple of days are going to be very interesting to see how all of this shakes out. One more, as you mentioned today with the Nationals, mm-hmm. their big aces on the mound today. Patrick Corbin, I think, is pitching for them. And so we'll see what the Royals can do against a legitimate ace today from a hitting standpoint. And then this Atlanta thing. I don't know what's going on in Atlanta because their last two games, yesterday and today, have been turned into a doubleheader on Monday because of that hurricane that's rolling in right now in Atlanta. Are the Royals going to be able to get to Atlanta after the game today? That's what I want to know. Are you flying into this storm that has canceled baseball games and canceled life down, you know, in the South? Are you going to be able to fly to Atlanta? Are those games going to be disrupted by what's going on? Like that whole scenario of losing those two games and switching them to a doubleheader Monday, I don't know what that's going to do for Atlanta. I don't know how they're going to approach it from a pitching standpoint. But, I mean, that thing just got really interesting down there in Atlanta because of this weather that's happening right now. So you got to fight that off as well as you look to go into the postseason. But they're this close, man, this close to the postseason. Any combination of Royals wins and Twins losses that equal three, and we're in the postseason. And 10 years ago today, we got our first playoff berth in 29 years, Dusty. So it's a big day for the Royals. Go out there, finish off this Nationals team, and let's just move forward and get into the playoffs and see what happens.
Yeah, you mentioned the matchup today. If their ace is Patrick Corbin, he is 6-13 with a 5.58 ERA. Yeah. Michael Wacha, you're pretty much your anchor down the stretch outside of Cole Reagan's in this pitching staff, and the Royals sit two games ahead of Minnesota, 2.5 against Seattle, tied with Detroit, so technically they own that second wild card spot as well.
They're the fifth seed right now.
Fifth seed. And look, I mean, the thing is, I love to admit when I'm wrong. I also love to admit when I'm right. Go ahead and mark this, Mac. September 19th, 8:15 in the morning. Dusty Likens here. Guarantee you the Royals will play playoff baseball on October 1st.
How you doing?
Try to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I announced, what did I say, back in August they were going to the playoffs, right? Like, this shouldn't be a surprise, right, that this team is going to the playoffs. They have been one of the steadiest ball clubs in Major League Baseball all year long. Up until Vinny Pasquantino got hurt, what did they do? Lose three, four in a row max?
I think it was seven.
No, up until he got hurt. He got hurt.
I think their biggest losing streak was four.
Was four games.
Yeah.
Nobody else in baseball was doing that. That's the sign of a good baseball team. You never got into a big-time losing streak. It was just making sure you finish. And that's the difference between being a playoff team and being not a playoff team in all of professional sports. How do you finish down the stretch? That's why when you look at the Chiefs' schedule and you see October is always wide open, there's never any home games in October now, they like the back end of the schedule to have those home games here as you lead into the postseason. It's all about finishing and finishing strong and putting your best foot forward at this point of the season. And I think the Royals have figured out a way to do that now. They've stemmed those 2 7-game losing streaks. They've got back on track. Opponent helps greatly in all of this. If they were playing a better opponent, who knows, you know, with the offense going the way. No, not at all. You take advantage of the schedule and you play the teams that are on there and that's what they've done. They've taken advantage of the schedule. They took advantage of the Chicago White Sox, man. Like, I know people still don't want to hear that, but going 12-1 against the Chicago White Sox is the difference between the Royals being in the playoffs and not being in the playoffs. Not every team went 12-1 against the Chicago White Sox this year. Should have done better against the Chicago White Sox. I don't think the Minnesota Twins did all that good against the White Sox this year. So they took advantage of their schedule. They took advantage of the teams that they were playing. They kept losing teams losing. They minimized losing streaks. They maximized those winning streaks. And they did everything that's necessary to be a postseason team. Now, I'm just ready for postseason baseball. I'm done with this regular season stuff. It's time to get this thing going in October and see what this Royals team is really all about before, you know, the Chiefs season gets into full speed and we're talking about the Super Bowl. So let's see, man. I love it. I love the fact that we're sitting here on a Thursday in the middle of football season, and we're talking about the Royals' magic number being three. We're talking about Daniel Lynch having new life. We're talking about guys out of the bullpen getting the job done for the first time maybe all year, right? A little rocky last night at the end, but they got the job done. We're talking about timely hitting. We're talking about great defense right now. These are the things that are necessary to win in October, and I'm just stoked, and I'm excited, and I'm ready for this thing to kind of take off and see what they can do when they face the bright lights of October baseball, man.
It is kind of ironic that your bullpen has been the biggest question mark all season. In the last two games, your bullpen has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the two biggest games of the year,
right,
your bullpen has come through. Daniel Lynch comes in after getting only two outs by Lorenzen and, you know, throws some clean innings. And the night before that, the bullpen has to, you know, stretch after 8-9 pitches from Reagan's.
Yeah.
And in your two biggest games of the year, your bullpen looks great. They're throwing the lefties out there with that, you know, string of lefties they got in a row. And then it looks like Esig is finally, you know, kind of found his own.
So hopefully he's got it back, right?
Just like we always say in baseball, it doesn't matter how hot you are through the season. Just get hot at the right time.
The right time
is right now.
And you look at last year, right? Yeah. Like the Rangers and Diamondbacks were both like wild card teams that nobody thought were going to do anything. And they both ended up meeting in the World Series. Anything can happen. The Royals were a wild card team 10 years ago today. Right. They clinched that wild card spot and they went all the way to Game 7 of the World Series. You don't have to win your division. You just have to be playing good baseball.
Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, James with you as well. We call this show Fesco and Dusty. And coming up on the other side, the newest addition to the Chiefs has spoken. What did he say? We'll play it for you here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. 913-586-7965. That's the number for those of you wondering about the app. We are working on it. We have called engineering. We're going to get up as fast as we can, I promise. But as much as I could go for about 4 hours talking about the Royals, you don't want that. You have a gigantic football game coming up this weekend, whether you want to admit it or not. It doesn't matter that the talent across the other side of the line is lesser than yours. It's a divisional matchup. It's on the road. It's week four. You have a chance to really do a lot of damage in the AFC with the win this week.
Absolutely you do, right?
You damn right.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's looking a lot like 2017, 2018. This was Kareem Hunt yesterday when he addressed the media about being back in Kansas City.
You know, it's still hard to envision. I guess once that day comes, it's gonna feel real because, you know, it's been a long time coming. I can't wait to put on the red again and, you know, go out there with, you know, these guys and put it all on the line for them. And I envision going out there and, you know, whatever I'm asked to do, just do it at the highest level and, you know, help find a way to, you know, keep this winning going on around here.
You know, it's interesting to hear Kareem Hunt talk because I was thinking about it yesterday, Dusty. Imagine if you were him and you messed up like he did and you were kicked off a team and for 6 years they became the greatest thing in the history of the NFL, right? Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, everybody emerged as these great superstars and you could have been part of that. And you, because of your actions, because of your own behavior and the things that you did and inflicted on yourself, you could not be a part of that run. And I start to think about it. I'm like, could they have been any better without Kareem Hunt? And it's hard to really look and say they would have been better without Kareem Hunt, right? They've won three Super Bowls in this time and have been to four. It's really hard to say. I don't even think they win that Tampa Super Bowl if they have Kareem Hunt on their team at that point in time. But now he has an opportunity to kind of right all of that and get back into the quote-unquote good graces, you know, of this organization. And I'm not expecting Kareem Hunt to come in here and be a world beater at all, Dusty. I don't know what the expectation level is for fans when they look at Kareem Hunt. I think people are expecting probably the New England Patriot game, his rookie year, you know, where he does the wheel route out of the backfield and they hit him touchdown. We're like, oh my God, this is the most unbelievable running back we've ever seen since Jamal Charles. That can't be the expectation for Kareem Hunt. I'm honestly just counting on somebody to kind of fill the spot right now for Isaiah Pacheco. And then when Isaiah Pacheco comes back, Kareem Hunt gives you a little bit more depth, you know, on that roster at the running back position. So I'm going into it with zero expectations, and then I know I'll be pleasantly surprised with whatever Kareem Hunt brings to the table, because if you go in with expectations that he's going to be 2017, 2018, you know, the version of Kareem Hunt we saw here in his first 2 years or so in the NFL, I think you're going in with false expectations, and they probably will not be met. But if he can score inside the 5 yard line for you and give you a little punch in that short yardage situation that you've been lacking and give you that opportunity, I'm good with it. So very low expectations for Kareem Hunt. Anything that he does will be great for us, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to say low expectations, but I don't have like 2017, 2018 expectations.
No, you can't.
I think the average fan is intelligent enough not to expect that, right? He's 29. He's been in the league, you know, for quite some time. He hasn't been that person, nor will he be that person. But I think the thing that's interesting is that, to me, the more impressive thing about this is the fact that you get to blend him in with Carson Steele, a guy that is young, a guy that is hungry, a guy that did actually show up in when he was needed. I think 72 yards rushing in that game against Atlanta. And now you kind of get to lessen the load on him as well. So you don't have to put a mass amount of expectations on a guy like Carson Steele, who's, you know, still getting his feet wet in the league. And then you've got a veteran in Kareem Hunt who knows this quarterback because, you know, from what we were told, he was at the wedding,
right?
Knows Andy Reid, knows tendencies, knows game pace, knows that kind of thing. Maybe not every play as you should, but the good thing about this is that you have an experienced veteran in the backfield that knows your system. I'm not saying anything against Samaje Perine, but let's be fair. Samaje Perine's been in Kansas City for 6 months. Kareem Hunt's going to be
six days.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt's going to be a little bit more, you know, experienced, going to know the system. And to me, the analogy that I give it is, you know, think about yourself, right? You go back home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, maybe different buildings with different names and stuff like that. But you still know the streets. You still know the back roads. You still know the shortcuts to get to certain places.
Absolutely.
Those don't change. And that, to me, is what Kareem Hunt is going to do when he comes in here. Yeah, he's not going to know that, you know, Dave's kitchen is closed and now it's something completely different. But he's going to know that the way to get around that, you know, certain traffic stop with a terrible red light, he knows he can go down a different road. He knows how to get there.
Right. Yeah, he does.
And I'm not saying that Kareem Hunt's going to run that wheel route like he did against New England. Wouldn't be surprised if he drew it up, though.
Well, I'm going to ask you this. Who catches the who's the first target on offense this week? Is it going to be Travis Kelce or is it going to be Kareem Hunt? And when I say target, hand it off to Kareem Hunt or throw it to Travis Kelce. Like, that kind of feels like it's going to be one of your first plays of the game, right? Get those guys kind of involved early in this. And so that's kind of where I'm thinking where this organization is going on Sunday. They have a couple of things that they need to accomplish in this game against the Chargers. Number one is everybody needs to stop with the Travis Kelce nonsense and you know,
we'll
where Travis has been and all that
Jason
kind of stuff.
Jason is getting pissed now.
Well, good. I'm glad Jason's
Big
getting pissed.
Big Brother's starting to put his head in the game.
And I kind of felt like Big Brother yesterday going off on that Todd McShay guy, formerly of ESPN, who doesn't have a clue about what he's talking about when he's calling Travis Kelce fat and all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad Big Brother has taken over because it's time to end that narrative. So I expect them to get Travis Kelce involved. I expect them to get Kareem Hunt involved. Mm. And I also expect them to get a big win because I'm looking at this game against the Chargers and you don't want to call it Separation Sunday on week four of the NFL season.
Go ahead and call it that.
Because I go back to what Q said. He goes, if we lose, is the season over? You know, like if they lose, are we not separating? But it's a big game. You go to 4-0, three AFC wins against arguably the three biggest contenders, you know, except for Buffalo in the AFC, right? Baltimore, Cincinnati,
contender
the Chargers.
As in your division.
Your division. Yeah, right. Yeah, you have an opportunity to really separate yourself from the rest of the division this weekend. But still, I mean, like it's a big time game.
No doubt.
I think for the Chiefs, you go out there, you win this game, you're sitting at 4-0 after the first month of the season. And I think everybody's feeling really good about where this organization is. You go and lose to the Chargers, and then everybody's talking about, man, all those injuries that the Chargers had. Derwin James isn't playing, and they found a way to get a win. So I think there's a couple of things to accomplish. Get Kareem Hunt involved, obviously get Travis Kelce involved, and then more importantly, get out of L.A. with a big-time victory, and then you can start to see that separation happening. And for the people that are already complaining about the Chiefs, Dusty, on Monday morning there will be more complaints about the Chiefs continuing to win and continuing to dominate the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, so let's dive into that Chargers game because we always like to kind of, you know, pump the brakes until about Thursday until we dive into it tomorrow. Could be a red Friday. Could be a purple Friday mixed with blue and red. Royals today at 12:05. Vern's on deck show at 11 here on 96.5.
Worst case scenario, magic number two tomorrow, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, no, worst case scenario, it is three still. Yeah. If they don't win
best
today.
Best case scenario could be magic number one. Right?
Yeah, right.
And I don't know when the Twins play. I haven't looked, but I assume a day game because obviously with the travel and the way the season goes. But look, dive into what is L.A. And I was saying earlier on in the season that I had a script for LA. And right now, Bob, I don't know if you remember this conversation we had, but it's kind of playing its way into what I thought. And hear me out again, because I'll recap what my
Minnesota night game, by the way.
Night game. Okay, so we'll know ahead of time.
Like if they win today, the magic number goes immediately to two.
No doubt.
And then if the Twins lose, then it's one coming in tomorrow.
So what you're saying is we're watching Giants, Dallas, Twins, and Marlins.
Twins
on
and Marlins.
Apple TV.
Yeah, that's right.
Double dip, double mm-hmm. fist, double frappe, whatever.
Whatever it is. No, she does not say the double.
But the Chargers matchup, it seems like. And I'm interested because we'll have Ben Maurer. I'm interested to see what he has to say about this. I'll ask him the same question. This seems like what I was talking about with the script of LA this year, which was Justin Herbert earlier in the season. It was announced that he had some sort of foot injury,
mm-hmm.
right? And I thought that injury would linger throughout the season.
Kind of has.
Okay.
Kind of has, yeah.
And we all know that Jim Harbaugh is a red ass and a tough guy and my guys are soldiers, and I feel like there's a little bit of pressure on Justin Herbert to play this game.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to trot him out there. from what I've seen and from what I've heard, now again, I know the NFL is smoke and mirrors and they want us to prepare for, you know, here in Kansas City to expect Justin Herbert to play. And then it could come to Saturday and all of a sudden Schefter's announced it is official. Justin Herbert's been announced as inactive. They're going to start, you know, whoever at quarterback.
And they have a bye next week as well, which kind of factors into saying you get Justin Herbert off that, you know, that bum ankle this week and next week, then he's healthy for the rest. Have you ever had a high ankle sprain before?
Yes.
You have.
Yes. Okay. I played basketball for many years of my life and I've done it multiple times.
And so you know how painful the high ankle sprain
is,
right?
And I'm not an athlete.
And I don't think I've ever had one. I know I've never had a high ankle sprain, right? It's never been something for me. So I can't say how hard it is to deal with something like that. But what I do understand from just covering the league and being around sports for as long as I have, these things don't tend to heal right away. And the only thing that does heal it is rest. And so you've got the opportunity to rest your quarterback for 2 weeks in week four, mm-hmm. and then the bye in week 5, and then come back in week 6, and you still have 11.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Weeks of the season to go. Wouldn't it make sense, especially with your two tackles most likely out of this game, to rest your starting quarterback? Like, that's the smart thing to do. That's the preparing for the future. That's, you know, making sure he's healthy for the final 11 games. But football coaches don't necessarily work that way, right?
Right.
And they're going to do everything they can to get Herbert out there. And then if he gets hurt again, that just delays how healthy he can be for the rest of the season.
And that's where I'm at with the whole, you know, script of the Chargers. Mm-hmm. Because Harbaugh, I think, gives off this sort of this mantra that physically, it's all in your head. Like, the pain is not in your body, it's in your mind, and you can go out there and accomplish whatever you want as long as you've got mind, power, and soul.
Right.
And if that's his way, then that's his way. Look, it worked at Stanford, it worked at San Francisco, it worked in Michigan, and maybe it works here.
Maybe.
But you do have a chance at creating chaos with your team by thinking that a week 4 game is a must-win game to save your season. If they lose, they're 2-2.
Right.
Right. They're 500. They're not going to win the division. You should have known that going into the season.
You should have known it going in. Right. Yeah.
And now you're going to a game where you're going to throw your quarterback into an ocean full of sharks, and they're all coated in blood.
Right.
And you have no tackles playing of your starting offensive line. Your starting safety has been suspended, conspiracy theory or not.
Oh, God.
Trust me.
Ugh.
Trust me. I can do another 10 minutes on that.
Ugh.
And then not only that, but you have a pretty fully healthy Chiefs defense that has a very good defensive line. And this is one of those games that if you trot Justin Herbert out there and this injury gets worse than it already is, it will linger even more throughout the season. You will then start to press. Questions will then begin to be asked about, is Jim Harbaugh the right guy for this team? Because they will continue. Because their schedule gets tough after the bye. And I talked about this in preseason. I said, look, they're going to start off 3-0. They're going to play the Chiefs. They're going to lose. They're going to go into their bye. They'll be 3-1. Right now, they're 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
They technically still could be 3-1 going to the bye, but I don't think they win this Sunday at all. And then all of a sudden they start playing really good teams in the schedule. And then that's when, you know, the tenaciousness and all the sort of pieces will start to be put together. And if they don't have their starting quarterback and they don't have a couple linemen, or they start to lose games and it comes out, they're like, yeah, Jim's just, you know, he really wants us to play. You know, he believes in us. He thinks that, you know, this is not as bad as it is. And the Chargers end up having a terrible season. It's going to be back on the same page that it's always been in the Chargers. And it's like people like to say on, you know, X or Twitter or Facebook, whatever it is, Chargers are going to charge.
Chargers are going to charge.
This isn't a must-win game for them. They don't win the season in week 4. It's a massive win if they win it, but it's not their season. And I'm not saying that I want the Chargers to just kind of put this on the back burner so we have an easy Sunday afternoon. Trust me, I'm one of those people that advocate I want the best because I want to beat the best so that there are no excuses. And I said on our Chiefs Take Tuesday that this game, again, with the injuries, the suspensions, and whatnot, this will be another game that the Chiefs win that on Monday morning when we do this show, there will be audio of people saying, yeah, the Chiefs just keep getting gifts. You know, the Cincinnati game, pass interference, whatever they want to call, or, you know, Jamar Chase had that penalty. It's not our fault.
Right.
Atlanta, pass interference in the end zone. They got lucky. Week one against Baltimore, you know, whatever you want to call those games, excuse, excuse, excuse. There's been three wins. There's been three excuses for every single win. This will no longer be one of those games as well, because if they do trot him out and he gets hurt, that's on the Chargers. But if they don't and there's all these injuries and the Chiefs win, it's going to be, well, there's no Herbert, there's no Alt, there's no James. It's a win, but it's like, you know what? The Chiefs sit at 4-0. You don't. You're angry. Three-peat, closer than we thought.
Well, and that's the thing. People are going to try to make excuses and whatnot for this team. You go out there and you win your games in the NFL. It doesn't matter who plays. You win a game in the NFL, that's a big deal, right? And backup quarterbacks seemingly always play well. We see that happen. We saw Justin Herbert as a backup quarterback. His first game ever. Had no idea he was going to start. Comes in and plays well against the Chiefs that day. And then kind of took off his career from that moment in time. But, you know, the whole blaming of the officials and conspiracies and all of this stuff, I thought Tavia Hunt said it really well on Instagram. She goes, you do realize the Falcons had that final drive where two penalties were called against the Chiefs, right? Like, we conveniently forget the things that go against the Kansas City Chiefs when we talk about what's happening with this team. There's no conspiracies. There's none of that going on right now with the referees. What's happening now is that the Chiefs are just better than everybody else. And I think we've gotten to that point in this lifespan of the Chiefs where people are now tired of the Chiefs just being better than everybody else. There's no answer for them. There's really no way to consistently beat them or consistently keep them down. So now people are grabbing at the low-hanging fruit, blaming the officials in all of this. So I think if you're the Chargers this weekend, you have to make a decision for the long term, not the short term. When you make short-term decisions in any aspect of life and don't look at the big picture, chances are you're making the wrong decision. You got to look at the big picture. Is it better for Herbert? And I would be saying this if he wasn't playing the Chiefs. Is it better for him to have the rest this week and the bye next week and then be there for the rest of the season? Or do you want to chance it and somebody going low, taking out that ankle, him rolling an ankle, and now you're really talking about an injury that's not going to heal and it's going to linger all season, and then your season is kaput?
Yeah, you could have two losses in one game, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
Speaking of losses, everybody in the media is losing when they take their opinion on Travis Kelce. This was audio from New Heights.
Fans are asking what's going on with the Chiefs offense. Pat and Coach Reed were asked about Big Yeti. We're calling plays for Travis, and it's like two or three people are going to him. People are really emphasizing trying to take him away.
It's football, baby. Come on now. Like, I'm not getting caught up in getting the targets and all that. I just want to have a successful offense. And I think Pat's doing a great job of finding the open guy and making the right decisions right now. It's a new offense, new players, new pieces, and we're just finding how to have success throughout the season. I've had a lot of catches in this league, man. I'm not worried about the catches and the yards and all of that. I have the most fun when I get the ball thrown my way. I mean, who doesn't? It has everything to do with execution, just making sure that we're doing whatever we can to win these football games, man. That's always going to be the goal.
It's going to go your way. It's going to go your way, especially if you freaking keep being the guy you've always been. There ain't nobody that I've ever played sports with and nobody that anybody's ever been on a team with that has loved being out there with Trav Moore. It's frustrating for me to watch and have to listen to, but I can't wait.
I appreciate it, brother.
I just can't wait. I can't wait for it to turn.
And if it doesn't, as long as we're winning football games, we good to go, baby.
No doubt about the very end of that as well. But look, I've come to the conclusion, and maybe I'm just biased or a homer, whatever, but if there's anyone that can speak on Travis Kelce, Bob, it is four people. It is Jason and Travis, Andy and Patrick.
That's about it. That's all that matters, quite honestly.
I guess Taylor could have some say, but she ain't going to talk football with people.
Right.
But look, you could tell from Jason Kelce that he's out here denying everyone out there that says his head's not in it. He doesn't care. He's more interested in his fame outside of football.
Right.
And you can hear Patrick Mahomes say, look, I know Travis. I'm trying to get him the ball. Now, I know that there are videos, and you can do the stop and grab clicks. You can do that for anybody. Right. You could look at the field and be like, Xavier Worthy was open on two plays, and Mahomes didn't throw it to him.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that when you live your life in a high profile, you're going to be looked at as a high profile. Yeah. That's what comes with the bag, baby. Like, you put yourself in that situation, it's going to happen. But if Travis is fine with Travis, and Jason knows Travis is fine, and Andy and Patrick know that Travis is fine, I don't need to worry about anybody else. I don't need to worry about McShame. I don't need to worry about other people that are like, oh, he's football fat. He's not into the game. You don't know him like those other guys do. And when those guys talk about, like, if Jason were to go on the podcast, be like, hey, bub,
bro, you're washed. A little slow. Yeah, right.
You look a little slow. And again, he's not going to do that because he doesn't
see
that.
I don't know when he hits his brother.
But also, exactly, yeah, right? Like, your dad is allowed to call you something if he wants to.
Right.
You'll understand.
Right.
If Joe Kansas on the street's like, Bob, you suck, you're a moron, you're like, it doesn't matter. You don't have the right to, have that opinion of me because you don't know me like that.
Correct, right.
Whereas those other three guys, and Travis included, even he's owning it. He could be like Jamar Chase. Why aren't you getting the ball? Or why aren't you making plays? Ask the coaches.
Yeah,
ask that.
Right.
He's not doing that.
No, he's not doing that at all.
He's putting self-blame, and then he's also putting the team above. So for all these people and all these naysayers that say he's not into the game, I say take two steps back, look yourself in the mirror, and go literally blank your own face.
And my question is pretty simple. What does it matter what Travis Kelce does from an offensive standpoint? Why do people care what Travis Kelce is doing from an offensive standpoint?
I don't know.
Because it's affecting your fantasy team? Is that why you care?
Because everybody else is talking about it.
I know, but but why? Like, why are we talking about the lack of production of a 35-year-old tight end in the NFL when a team is 3-0 and Rashi Rice is the second leading receiver in all of the National Football League. Mm-hmm. This is the beauty of sports, right? When you start, taking the low-hanging fruit crowd and you start feeding them facts, they don't want to hear the facts.
Correct.
They don't understand the facts. They don't get the facts. And then they just walk away because they don't have any response for the facts that are coming their way. The facts that are coming their way are pretty simple with Travis Kelce. Number one, he is 35 years old. Nobody in sports is as good at 35 as they were at 34 or 33. It happens, right? Mm. Father time catches up with everybody. That's number one. Number two, they've had a wide receiver emerge who I said at the beginning of the year may go down as the best wide receiver in franchise history with the way that they expect him to portray out, and what he's doing right now, he's living up to those expectations. Rashi Rice has been the number one target for this team since the day of training camp in St. Joe when it first started. Rashi Rice, Rashi Rice, Rashi Rice. He's second in the NFL in receiving yards right now. And then you also have a backfield that's not really giving you the opportunity to run the football all that well, right? So that kind of takes away from some of the things that you're trying to do. And a lot of teams are scheming against Travis Kelce. I think you brought it up the other day. There's not many tight ends that are doing great things right now, other than Bowers out in Las Vegas. Every other tight end has had limited production this year. This may be the year where defenses truly got better. They got faster. They got smarter. They now are scheming to take the tight ends out. That's the reality. But people don't like to hear the reality. They want to hear that Travis Kelce spent too much time touring with Taylor Swift or too much time eating this offseason or whatever nonsensical nonsense that people are putting out there. They just don't want to look at the real facts and the real information. And when you look at the real facts and the real information, you're like, okay, he's good. And his comment, Dusty, is beautiful. I don't care what I do as long as we're winning football games, right? As long as we're winning football games, that's all that matters. And at the end of the day, when we have a parade down Grand and the Lombardi Trophy's in Kansas City again, nobody's going to care what Travis Kelce did in the regular season.
That's right. I hope he does a celebration shirtless. That's what I hope.
I hope he does too. Yeah.
913-586-7965. Coming up on the other side, our favorite what if local athletes. What are yours? Who are your favorite, what if they turned out, athletes in Kansas City? James, Bob, Dusty. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, the age-old question in Kansas City, we all know, we ask it every day. Where am I going to park? Well, it's easy when you go to KCI and you're flying out. You're going to use Park and Go. These guys are unbelievable. I love going to the airport and using Park and Go because I know it's going to be a smooth trip to the terminal. I make my reservation immediately after I make my flight reservation at bookparkandgo.com. It's done. And then I prepay because that's when you save money. You get their lowest rate when you prepay when you book in advance. Then on the day of your trip, show up at the gate, give them that information that you have, that confirmation code, and they're going to tell you where to park because they've got a spot reserved for you, and it's all covered parking. So this winter, when you're getting ready to head out to the ski slopes or to the beaches or whatever it is, you know your car is going to be protected from all of the elements at Park and Go, and they meet you right away. They take you right to the airport terminal. You're there in no time at all, and when you get back, this is why I love Park and Go the most, because you just grab your bags, walk outside the terminal, and there's the bus right back to the trunk of your car. So do what we did and join their frequent parker program and earn points towards free parking. Reserve your spot today at bookparkandgo.com. The best deals in parking. Bookparkandgo.com. Park and Go, family owned and operated.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on a Thursday morning. For those of you worrying about the app, we are still working on it. I have asked around, trying to figure things out. I promise we're not leaving you in the dirt. I'm just, the only thing I can do is email engineering. Hopefully they'll get into it here in a second. But wanted to bring this up because you found an article of this guy from Bovada who went through a list of his, you know, top 10 what if players.
Yeah.
By the way, Derrick Rose announcing his retirement from the NBA.
Oh, he is. All right.
He is.
That's a what if player, right?
Yeah, he's not a local guy, but he was one of those guys that, you know, really had a terrible way to exit college basketball. Obviously, Mario's miracle was probably a photo that might be the most famous photo of his career. That is the opposite of what he would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Derrick Rose did announce his retirement, but this guy goes through a list and, you know, some of the names I don't need to go over, but
right. It
made you think, what are your, you know, top three or who's an athlete that played for Kansas City that you would have wished to see it, you know, come full, you know, fruition.
Yeah, like your biggest what if, you know? Yeah, like your biggest what if player. Like, man, what if that guy never got hurt? Or what if that guy never got traded? Or what if that guy signed long term, you know, here in Kansas City? And the first name that immediately comes to my mind, and I'm sure you probably had this one as well, is Mondi. I mean, I think he goes down as one of the biggest what-if athletes because I still haven't seen anybody run the bases better in my lifetime than Adalberto Mondesi did. I've never seen anybody with that kind of speed run the bases like he did. Like, I was in awe watching this guy go from home to third on a triple he hit the one time he got into a game for the Kansas City Royals. And I was like, oh my God, what if this guy does this on a consistent basis? How good would he be? The what-if factor ends up being they probably don't draft Bobby Witt if Mondi is really good. And so I always go back to that guy immediately when I hear about like what if players, who would you have liked to have seen? And Mondi makes the list for me. Another guy that makes the list to me, and we kind of talked about it earlier, Dusty, Kareem Hunt a little bit, you know, like if he maintains and does the right thing off the field and doesn't do, you know, the lying to the Hunt family and doesn't do the domestic stuff. What if Kareem Hunt was part of this offense for the first, you know, 5 years of this Super Bowl run? How much different is that offense going to look? And another one for me too, Priest Holmes is a big what if for me. What if Priest Holmes never gets injured? Because he was on pace to be one of the greatest running backs in NFL history, but much like just about every running back in the NFL, the shelf life is so short with those guys. We never really got to see the full scale, if you will, of Priest Holmes' career. And I wanted to see more of Priest Holmes, and we never had that. That was kind of taken away from us. So those are kind of my three like big what if guys when I'm just kind of thinking about it at the top of my head. I'm sure the text line's going to have some great ones as well.
Oh, yeah.
You have some good ones as well in those scenarios. But those are kind of the three that come to mind right away.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm going to throw some sort of humor spin on it.
Sure.
But there's, you know, two that I think we all kind of can agree on that maybe you forgot about. Number one for me is Bob Hamlin.
That's always a good one, right? Yeah, right.
Look, I'm 7 years old when he wins Rookie of the Year. I'm starting to go to sporting events. I'm old enough. My dad's with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember hearing Hammer Time from, you know, MC Hammer on the loudspeakers and watching this overweight, wearing specs, blasting bombs, winning Rookie of the Year. And you look at his stats, he hits 282, he has an OPS of 987, and slugs almost 600, blasts 24 home runs, and then it just was gone.
Well, they start throwing him the curveball, and he never adjusted probably.
Yeah, you know, he turned into Serrano.
Yeah, right, yes.
And, you know, then he goes from hitting hitting 282 to 168. Still hit, you know, never hit 20 home runs ever again in his career.
Right.
Plays two more years with the Royals, goes to Detroit, has a decent year there, but just out of the league by 98.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered, like,
what if he could have been like that classic DH guy that hit 25, 30 home runs for the Royals every year and you bat him fourth or fifth in your lineup?
Right.
And, you know, you think rookie of the year, okay, we got some promise with this guy. And it just never happened. It's kind of similar to like Angel Barroa.
Yeah,
right?
Very, very much so. But this is what happens in sports. Like guys have a big year. They think they've arrived and they don't do any work. They don't put in the effort. And I'm not saying he did, but you can read the tea leaves. He never got better from where he was. That he came out of the gate at his high water mark, right? He was born on third base, never got home, right? Like, he had a great first year and then never adjusted. I don't know, whatever it was. The strike was involved, obviously, you know, and missed the end of that 94 season and whatnot. So I look at Bob Hamlin as one of those guys as well, too. Like, what if this guy adjusted back to baseball once they adjusted to him? He's not still in the league now, but maybe he has a nice 10-year career here in Kansas City.
My second one is Jonathan Baldwin.
That's a good one. I like it.
God, dog, man. They drafted that cat, I believe, out of Pitt.
I remember
that. I was like, man, this guy's going to do it. And then Thomas Jones knocked his ass out, and he was never the same.
Well, it was interesting when they drafted him, right?
Oh, like, he was,
And we had, I want to say, his college coach on the air, right? And the guy was like, I don't know why they picked him. We were like,
shoot.
Oh, God. Like you're the college coach. Like you're, and maybe it was their announcer, but it was somebody associated with the Pittsburgh program, right? And they're like, they drafted John, but why? You know, it's like, what are those things? I'm like, oh, God.
I mean, he had it all, man. He had size and a little bit of speed.
And had a great catch in training or at OTAs that only Josh saw. It was an amazing play.
Was he leaning on the fence?
He was not at that point in time, I don't think. But he will go down as like, what if? Because John Baldwin never did anything in this league.
He might be one. He might be more hated as a Chiefs player than Matt Cassel.
Matt's a good guy. Like, Baldwin never, I mean,
they booed him when he was hurt.
I know.
Man was lifeless on the field and got Eric Fisher to turn into a PR guy.
No, it was Eric Winston.
It was
we
were not gladiators.
One of the greatest. I mean, that still, to me, is one of my top five moments in this business.
And then, of course, he became like the voice of the Players Association
and all that. Yeah, like when we were in Rome this summer, I sent a picture to Josh of the Colosseum. I go, this is the Roman Colosseum, but we are not gladiators, right?
Like, no, you are.
It's just
modern day.
It is modern day gladiators, 1,000%. Right? 1,000% modern day gladiators. That's the way it is. And I look at that moment as like, that's like a top five moment for me I mean, you're in the locker room that day, and Eric Winston is like doing roll call.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's summoning everybody over. 6'10", 5'9", 41, the newspaper, you know, everybody over here. And you're like, okay, what's he going to say? And then he let it go. And then I call Big Lego, you need to play this right now.
No doubt.
And that's your entire postgame show. And Eric Winston was a beauty that day. Ranks up there with Dwayne Bowe calling him the Clarks. I mean, that was an all-timer as well.
Sonic is still open, and there's Bob Marley's cologne pouring from the car. And then my last one is that 90s Royals outfield.
Oh, God, Damon Dye Beltran.
About a kid who was set up for success in his life to only be completely ripped from his soul to see them all go away and all win World Series.
Yeah, Beltran definitely did. Dye did with the Chicago White Sox. At one time, the White Sox actually had a decent baseball team.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Johnny Damon went on with Boston and New York to do his thing. Yeah.
And it ripped my soul out because that outfield, that picture that I still have permanently in my memory where they're all laying in the outfield grass, and it's like the Royals outfield this year, and you're like, that's what we want.
That's right.
And that's where you were like, you know, and I think that's part of the reason why I think a lot of people are very ecstatic that Bobby Wood Jr. got that contract, because that's where it all began. Yeah. Like, even maybe before that, where it was like, yeah, the Royals always got great athletes. They were studs, all-stars. And then they were gone because other teams got them. They wouldn't pay them. And here we are today with a superstar. We don't have to have that anymore. And
imagine if they had pitching in the year 2002, because that was the year that outfield and that offense was gangbusters. You throw in Mike Sweeney's bat into that lineup, in 2000. They just had no pitching that year. They had no bullpen that year. They couldn't find a way to get anybody out, and they were losing games like 11-10. But that outfield, man, you'd be hard-pressed to find in this century of Major League Baseball a better threesome than that outfield that the Royals had with Damon Dye and Beltran out there. I mean, think about it.
Healthy, the Yankees is pretty gnarly. Because you can go Stanton, Judge, and Soto.
You could,
That's pretty solid.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that is pretty good.
But that's just the Yankees in every year.
Yeah.
Text line coming in, what if Todd Blackledge?
Nah.
A lot of Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson's the easy one, but like I'm kind of done with Bo Jackson. Like that's so long ago, right? Like the legacy and the aura of Bo Jackson was better than anything he really did on the field, right?
Right.
There always is going to be that what if, but that seems like an easy one that we just all go to by default. Oh, what if? Oh, definitely Bo Jackson coming in on that list. We don't know how good he would have been. Maybe he would have been good. I don't know. I would have liked to have seen it, but there's been so many other guys since then that have kind of rolled through. Like, what if your Dono Ventura never dies?
That was one of the texts on,
you know?
Somebody says from the 816, how different would this organization have been for the next 4 to 10 years with a bona fide ace, him and Sally together?
Yeah, it would have been huge. And you know, the further we get away from your Dono Ventura and with people no longer in this organization and you start to talk to them, the impact of your Dono Ventura wasn't just a small impact that it had that offseason. It carried all the way through the season. And what year was that? Was that 2017 when your Dono Ventura died, right?
I believe so.
A lot of folks in that organization believe that's why they didn't play well that year. Like, that had that kind of impact on that entire team. Next time we have Haas on, we can talk about that stuff if he's willing, you know, to get into that kind of conversation. But, you know, your Dono Ventura was a big one because it affected the team that year in a big way, but it also affected where they were going forward. Like, you had these plans for the organization, and he was going to be your ace. And how much different would it have been had your Dono Ventura been at the front of that rotation for a couple of years? Or maybe he's still pitching here in Kansas City.
James, you had one that you were thinking about, that what if athletes in Kansas City?
Yeah, it's kind of along the same lines. I was going to go with Eric Berry.
It's a really good one.
He doesn't get Hodgkin's lymphoma, doesn't get the Hagelin's disease in his ankle or his heel. That's a good one.
Yeah, no, that is a good one because Eric Berry, once he beat cancer, his attentions were focused elsewhere, and that's great. I have no problem with that. I don't hold any ill will towards Eric Berry, but yeah, I think that's a good one because is he still here? Does Tyrann Mathieu end up coming into Kansas City? And Tyrann kind of turned that defense around, so who knows, man? Like the what-if effect, the butterfly effect, and the peeling back the onion, all of these things. Like if this guy's healthy, then maybe we don't get to hear where this guy is who had a huge impact on our team, you know?
Coming up on the other side, it's Chargers week. Chargers dot everything you can imagine plus conspiracy theories. Of course, why not? James, Bob, Dusty, this is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.